Is there more to deja vu than just our mind playing games with us? Of course there is. You have to check out the new action-adventure video game, Unknown 9 Awakening. You get to play as Haruna, a spiritually awakened heroine with the fantastic ability to venture into the fold, a mysterious dimension that is connected to our own. Her voice is gifted to us by the magical actress Anya Chalotra, who plays Yennefer on the Witcher series. In the game, Haruna is on a quest for powerful hidden knowledge and learns how to master her unique connection to the fold, which allows her to harness and channel its powers into our own world. But such great power does not go unnoticed. Because of her gifts, Haruna becomes a target of the Ascendants, a splinter faction of a secret society known as the Leap Year Society. The Ascendants' goal? To use the fold to alter human history for their own benefit. Their confrontations take them all over the world, from the sands of Mauritania to the perilous Indian jungles, and even to the gothic landscapes of Portugal. Get ready to dive into a mysterious parallel dimension. Unknown 9 Awakening releases on October 18th, 2004 for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Pre-order your copy today and learn more about the Unknown 9 universe at unknown9.com/mystery. That's unknown9.com/mystery.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yep. Always.
Every damn week.
I had to get my notes together. Hey, I told them that I would read these reviews the last time, and I had to print them. Well, Shane had to print them.
Whose mystery is this? Shane's?
It's Shane's.
It's mine.
Oh.
I just dropped all my papers, though.
Hang on.
Yes, turn off her notifications. Emily's trying to call her. Get a life, Emily.
I'm going to have to pull this off for a minute.
Someday, Kim. Someday.
What must that feeling be like to have an issue and to call your parents to help solve that issue?
Oh, Lord Jesus, there's a fire. Did I touch it? Did I screw it up?
I don't think it looks good, no.
You don't think it looks good?
I think it's okay.
Oh, my bad.
I mean, you're still on it, unfortunately.
Shut up. No, I forgot to put it on Do Not Disturb, and Emily's wedding dress shopping with one of her friends.
Normally, if you put it on Do Not Disturb on your Apple Watch, it will.
Oh, I didn't know how to do that.
On your phone.
I don't know how to do it on my watch.
Learn. Learn new things, Kim. Stay off TikTok and learn new things.
Where do you think I learned new things at? TikTok.
Well, I bet you could learn on TikTok instead of watching weird videos. And listen to Smut a little less.
Just a little less.
Oh, man, that book I was listening to on the way. It was really smutty, and I was like, oof.
Is that what took you so long?
No. I told you I had to stop at the post office, and it takes me a while to get here.
It took you a long time.
It takes an hour and 45 minutes to get here.
I think she was driving real slow.
It only takes me an hour and 15 minutes to get to Selma from here.
It's Kim. She drives really slow, Josh.
No, I don't.
I go the long way, too, down 3.
You must be speeding really bad.
No, I go the speed limit. I only ever go, like, unless I'm passing someone.
From Shane's house or from your house?
Oh, from my house. But it's only 10 minutes from mine here.
See, it's more like 15 for me.
She drives slow.
I told you.
Drive slow out in the country.
But when she's listening to her smut, she wants it to be an hour and 45, 2 hours.
Hey, I had to stop and get
Daddy,
breakfast
on
the way.
Oh, yeah, where are you going to put that hose?
And I had to stop at the post office. That takes me a minute to get in. So it takes a little while.
I don't make stops usually.
And then I walked into the classroom and I learned, he's my teacher.
I had smut.
That was a really good book.
I had a smut audiobook playing in my car the other day when I pulled up to the gas station with my windows down. And that's some interesting looks from the redneck in the gas pump next to me.
I always make sure that if I'm listening to something like that, I always make sure if I'm going through a drive-through or whatever, I always make sure I pause it before I read, because I don't want people to know what I'm listening to.
I want them to. I love the weird looks. What the heck? Blessed and highly favored. How you doing? It's my favorite term I found. I guess some Christians say, when you're like, how are you doing today? Blessed and highly favored. I'm like, I heard that.
I have never heard that. Yeah, I've never heard that.
The conceitedness.
I'm so excited I have me a tea today.
She got her a tea.
You know what I hate? I hate that Kim and I both walked into the same place that sells tea today.
At two different times.
Yeah, I walked in right after her. They have an array of different flavors.
Like front and back of a paper.
Yeah.
It's full of stuff.
And I thought, I'm going to try something new that I've never had before.
You both got the same thing.
And we both walked out with the same exact flavor.
Well, there's a reason you're friends.
I hate myself so much today.
So much. Yeah,
you might hate yourself, but you love me.
That is not true, Kim. And I remind you of that every day.
I'm going to have my best friend come join us for an episode so our listeners can hear what a true best friend. Just the difference in how I treat mine versus Shane. I'm like, you are a goddess. The world is not good enough for your presence. You horrible monster.
Kim, I'm telling you right now, if you ever text me that, I will block your number for real. I pretended to block her number the other day because she texted me.
I almost had a heart attack.
Were you afraid that I blocked your number?
I was like, what did I say to piss him off? I didn't say anything. I kept going back and rereading, and I'm like, what did I say to piss him off?
You say something about Betty White.
I really wish she'd blocked my number. The day that she would exile me from her life would be my biggest happiness. But anyway.
He lies so much.
She mentioned,
he would cry himself
so
to
bored.
Sleep.
She mentioned to me she was thinking about taking some Fiber One bars.
Oh, yeah.
And so I came up with this fun little thing through a text message, and I created this fake real looking Verizon text message code back. And I was like, this number has blocked you from contacting them. And then I created this fake code 6904. And then I turned my iMessage off. So she responds to me and was like, oh my God. And then it came through as a text message. So it looked like I've blocked her, because if you try to text someone who has an iPhone that has blocked you, it doesn't go through, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to talk here.
My bad.
We're on
He's trying
show.
To bitch about you, Kim.
Can't I
you
know. I can't even die quietly.
You're so selfish.
Conceited.
Anyway, so she responds, and then she screenshots it and sends that screenshot to me. She goes, bitch, did you block me?
Desperate. Desperation.
I was like, I wonder if he's seeing this or if this is just something that I'm seeing. What the hell is going on?
Did you block me, you MF-er?
Yeah. So then I got a good laugh out of it. I'm sure you did.
I block a lot of people. Such a jerk. I love it when you block them and then they try to call you. Oh, my block
list is strong.
I'm like, why are they trying to call
me? Or add you on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
Email.
Psycho.
Are we still talking about the same family member?
Yes. By marriage, not by blood.
Okay. I mean, either way.
I know. Either way, it's not a winning, winning team.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So while I was in Florida, I visited Daytona. And,
did you go to the racetrack?
No. Uh-huh. I don't do sports. First of all, it's hot as shit out there. I am not visiting a racetrack. There is no shade.
I've seen enough shirtless rednecks with beer guts and watered-down mullets. Yeah. And
we'll be seeing a lot more of them, considering that over the weekend is the Indianapolis 500.
Anyway, more importantly, so I was driving around, and I was coming, like, I like snooping, and I'm a people watcher. And so I'm snooping around, but, like, how easily can you snoop when you're in a Mystery Machine Tesla?
Not very easily.
So I'm snooping around Daytona. I had just eaten at one of my favorite restaurants in the area, in Catfish's. If you've never been, you gotta go. It's amazing.
I was super jealous when you sent those pictures.
It was so good.
When we all went down there that year, that place was so good.
It's so good. Anyway, so I was snooping around. And outside of, if you leave Aunt Catfish's and turn left, so it's like on the Bay Area of Daytona, there are some really like big houses over there, like these mansion-sized looking houses. They're so pretty. And I just thought, who are these people and what do they do to buy these big houses on the Bay in Daytona? Smuggling.
I was going to say, you know what my philosophy has always been? Doctor, lawyer, drug dealer.
Well, I can't
anymore. OnlyFans. They make bank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Kim, I really think that we have a business plan that we need to get you an OnlyFans. In a small trike.
You can crochet. You don't have to do sex. You can crochet.
Why does
there.
It have to be? I mean, I can do that, but why the hell do I need a trike?
A trike.
Listen, we just get a little tiny, the smallest trike we can, get you a little bikini, little bikini. And they just have you. Hey, we're going to Colorado soon, and we're going to be in the Stanley. Do you know how much money we can make on you and a little bikini? Riding
I'm
down
not gonna
the
lie,
aisle.
That would be freaking funny, is what that would be.
Hell, I'd pay to see that.
On a little trike.
We should all watch the movie together. And then when we go to the Stanley, then we should reenact some of those scenes in it. Yeah.
Shane and I can pretend to be the twins.
Oh my gosh.
Will you play with us?
Wouldn't that be fun though to reenact some scenes?
I plan to walk around the hotel. I told my friends I'd FaceTime them as I'm walking around.
We should at least record a podcast while we're at the stage.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. That would be fun. No doubt.
But anyway, so I do think that there would be some, you know, frinkadinks that would pay some money to see you in a little bikini on a trike. I think that we could get one of those mansions on the beach. Well, not on the beach. I mean, you're not beach material, but you're bay material.
Up the bay.
You know? I mean, maybe not bay, but I mean,
one of those
Destin,
55
plus. Destin, you know.
We can get a condo.
Yeah, towards, you know.
Well, if I'm going to have a condo, It's not going to be on the beach.
I won't be there for very long.
But listen.
It's going to be in the mountains.
But we have to remember, though, that we're a team. So it's a team effort.
Yeah, and the team can go to the mountains instead of the beach.
But we have to have two. We have to have a beach material and mountains material.
Your only fans can do the mountains, then mine. I'll get us the mansion on the beach.
Okay.
Well, I'll get us an island, baby.
Mm-hmm. But, so, you know, I'm driving along, seeing these real nice places. Like, what the hell are these people doing? Like, if they're selling cocaine and getting this stuff, I'm ready to wheel and deal. You know, right. if they're doing this,
I'll put some balloons of cocaine up inside
whatever they need to do, I'll do it. But I came across this one place, and you know, like when you start, like you just see this place and you get this weird feeling, like something's happened here or something.
Shady.
So I get this odd feeling, and it's like this older looking Greek style mansion place with a good amount of land. And I thought, this is weird. And I drive around it, you know, scooping it out in a mystery machine Tesla, you know, like trying to solve
incognito.
A mystery.
Yeah. Incognito.
Like, they're not going to know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on here? And I kind of got this feeling like it's a commune or like a cult, you know, like a small little group of like
we a have cult a cult. Thing.
Yeah, I know. But then, see, this is what I thought. I thought, you know, at some point when we become a huge, like the biggest podcast out there, what we should do. Is I'm thinking of this off the top of my head. What we should do is have a location at the beach and a location in the mountains.
Okay.
Where at any point in time, our patrons can just reserve like a hotel room at our cult resort.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't that just be so fun?
Yeah.
We could do live shows all the time.
Yeah. And we'll just have a location. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like, I mean, these cult leaders have all this crap all the time.
Well, yeah.
But what's different? I mean, we wouldn't be an actual cult. Like, we wouldn't have people like become, you know, like, you don't have to give us all your belongings and live there. But
just
instead
the men
of,
have to have sex with me.
But we won't torture you. You don't have to have sex with Kim.
Yeah, you'll like it. You will like it. I promise.
No, but listen, I thought it would be brilliant because, like, you know, if you go out to the beach or you go out to the mountains, you have to get a hotel room, da 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 da.
Oh.
But it'd be so nice just to have, like, our own place. But these are dreams for when we become the largest podcast out there.
When I went to Tennessee, because I got us a condo, and it was just a two-bedroom condo, so it's pretty small. But it was so nice. I told my mom, I said, one of these days, I'm going to own one of these. And we just come whenever we want.
Mm-hmm. There
whenever
you go.
We want.
We'll do, Cam can do mountain, Shane can have a beach, and I'll be out in the desert. And
Desert?
What the crap? Yeah. You want to go to the desert
for? Oh, I loved it. Like, it was Arizona, the desert. Oh,
it was
beautiful.
Hot.
I loved
chafe.
It.
I chafe. I am a lizard.
I need the heat and the sun.
They have that at the beach.
But I don't the saltwater shark. I loved the desert. I loved it. It was so pretty.
But see, what I liked about that cult house is that they had these. It was shaded. I mean, all of it was shaded. So like, you could go out to the beach and stuff, but then you go to the cult house and it was all shaded. They had these huge, massive trees.
Oh, it definitely had to be a cult.
It was like a cult Greek.
It was like a compound.
It looked like a compound. I mean, it looked like people are giving away all their belongings to live there. And it was so nice.
They probably
nice,
sold
though.
Their soul to the devil.
It was so nice, though. So, I mean.
And it is so hard to do. I've been trying. God, I've been trying. Ugh.
You're ridiculous.
Ever since I was like 12.
Speaking of 12, did you guys see that the Boy Scouts are changing their name?
No.
Just the Scouts?
I think that's what they're going to call themselves.
Are they going to merge the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts together?
Not merge, so. But they have opened it up to all sexes.
Have they?
Or they're going to. I have heard that. Because nobody's... No, I mean, their numbers
well, their
have just
attendance
been declining.
Are down. Yeah. Well, that happens if you abuse too many children.
Right.
Same with the Catholic Church. I mean,
well, that's
why
I'm wondering.
Downhill.
Like, I'm just questioning, you know, because the Boy Scouts are changing their name and... Part of it probably
I was in
is
Girl
because...
Scouts when I was a kid from fourth grade to sixth grade, and I absolutely loved it. We had a blast.
I would have thrived in Girl Scouts. Would have thrived.
What did we learn? I don't...
Tie a knot right now.
Yeah.
Start a fire.
That's a Boy Scout. That's not a Girl Scout.
They should be learning the same thing.
We did learn how to do fires, and I don't remember.
You can make a fire. If we go camping, You're making a fire.
How often have we had bonfires that I made? What are you talking about?
Okay, so on Unmasked, everyone listening, we talked about how we should make our next challenge for patrons should be a location thing. If it's camping, Kim's going to make the fire.
That's my favorite part.
I know how
part.
To make a fire. But we used to do, you're we used gonna, to have, we had camp that we went to, and we would go do all kinds of different things.
Did you sell Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah.
They didn't have them back then.
Yes, they did.
They had to you make them themselves. Sucks?
The Boy Scouts, they sell popcorn. I'm like, no what? Wonder their numbers are going downhill.
Yeah, I can
Who
see
wants
how
popcorn.
I can really see how their numbers are going down. I don't think that, in especially today's
I don't
generations,
think parents probably and, want their kids around it. Well, yeah, they hear so many horror stories.
Right, that and I mean, kids want to do video games now and that kind of stuff. They don't want to.
Yeah, it's that's
go
unfortunate,
hang out.
But
it is.
It's also
it
really safer. Is.
There was a guy at our high school who was in Scouts, like all the way up until I think he graduated from the Scouts.
Eagle Scout.
He would come into high school in his Boy Scouts uniform.
It was embarrassing.
It was. Mm. Ever since I we moved there in seventh grade, I told my best friend, I'm like, he's gay. He is a gay man.
And, gay.
And he never came out throughout high school. And then, you know, after you graduate, you lose touch. But I saw him on the apps not long ago. It was like 30 something miles away, but I was just scrolling. I was like, Zoom.
Was his?
I was right. I love being right.
Was his app named Scoutin'?
It had something to do with Scout.
I know. Bet it was.
He has a.
It's very rare that you see guys.
Fetish.
Oh, I bet he does.
Probably.
That is hilarious.
It's really, really rare that you find Eagle Scouts. You just don't find people that
is
stay
Eagle
in
Scouts own. Part of the Boy Scouts?
Yeah, it's the top tier that you can.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like the black belt. We never did the Scouts, but we did go camping about every weekend.
Yeah, we did.
When we were younger. We had a camper. And
I remember getting in trouble. Like, we went camping for Girl Scouts once, and me and a couple of the girls snuck out of our tent that night, and we got in trouble. It was bad.
Dipping your tampons in vodka.
No, that was before
I've heard
that.
Heard about that.
It was before I needed those.
I wonder if the Catholic Church is going to change their name. I guess we'll find out.
Who knows?
I think they should start letting
rebrand.
Women start letting women become the priests.
Now that's
I thought they had.
That's too much.
No, they can't. No.
Now most religions, women can't have a voice.
Yeah.
Even grandma, she was sexist against. I mean, it said I believe in the Bible that women can learn the word of God, but they can't preach it.
Well, when men are the ones that write the books and write the religions,
right. No women.
Hmm. And write the laws.
Sad.
That's normally how it goes.
I was normally the one I remember being a little boy and be like, women can't. I don't like this.
Yeah.
Really, women are a lot smarter than men and they can't. Nope. I know.
I remember like anytime I could be in a group with people, I would always want to be in a group with women just because I always felt like they were more competent.
Both of us, like even growing up, the majority of our friends were always women.
Yeah.
It's funny because mine were always men.
Hang around who you are.
That's because you were
like,
a hoe.
Who you are, like, mentally developed. Shane and I, we were very mature for our age.
And you were unmature.
Barndeller.
I mean, with as much as we tease and stuff, I definitely do not act what my age.
Even at like 20, my best friend in beauty school was mid 30s. Had a divorced single mom. I loved her too. I'm still friends with her.
So we mentioned this, but at some point in time, we are going to create a challenge to get new Patreons. And I really think that we should do that. A challenge for a location where we will do a live episode recording. And either we go camping at a fun location or we go to a scary location overnight.
Yogi Bear Park.
That would be fun.
That's as scary as I want to get.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't do camping, but I'll do camping if it's for Patreon.
I'll show you guys how rugged I am.
Oh, my God. Kim will make us a fire. She'll do her Girl Scouting.
Nobody believes in
her. I'll call my ex-husband and see if I can borrow his camper. That's
cheating.
We can't cheat, Kim. This is for Patreon.
Shane's going to bring his listeners. Solar stuff.
Right.
It better be close to a bathroom because I am not going into the woods.
No, I'll get you. You get a 5-gallon bucket. You put a funnel noodle around it. And that's your toilet. You put a bag down if you got to poop.
With my luck, I would sit down and lose my balance and fall over. And then I'd be yelling at Josh, come help me up.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. It's all a good time.
All for the Patreon. All for the Patreon.
We'll take us some gummies. Maybe a little peyote tea. We'll just be hallucinating out in the woods.
But I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be sleeping on an air mattress because I do not sleep on the floor.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
I don't sleep on the floor. I'm not a dog.
It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
That earth is hard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Are you guys ready for my mystery today?
Sure.
Okay,
All right, so as we mentioned in the last episode, Kim and I, you know, we went and explored a cemetery. And the cemetery we explored was Woodland Cemetery in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I did a little background research on Woodland. It's a really cool cemetery. If you've never been, I recommend it.
Kim and I are very cool
cemetery searchers. We like to just explore cemeteries.
However, if you go into the cemetery and you immediately go to the first left, don't go all the way down there and follow it all the way because there's no way to turn around.
They're doing construction.
No, it was the dead end one, remember? There was no cul-de-sac or anything down there for you to turn around. I had to turn around the middle of the road.
Well, it's because they're doing road construction.
There was no exit to it.
Poor thing, they're doing road construction. With your rear view video camera, had to back up. Oh, poor thing.
It was awful. Horrible.
Well, her car was so long.
I know, it is a beast.
Yeah, it was like beast. It was like two rolls forward, three rolls back, two rolls forward.
At one point in time, I thought, we're never going to get out of here. They're going to have to get a tow truck.
It's my favorite. I get the same feeling as when I see little Kim get out of her big cars, when I see little Kim sitting in a big chair and her little feet's dangling.
Oh, just like every podcast we do. Sitting here with my feet up on a, what are these things called, Shane?
I can't even see it.
It's a little cord thing.
Yeah, the box that cords can go in. Yeah. I have my feet up here just so that I can touch.
Just one of life's simple joys that just puts a little pep in my steps.
Hey, I love my big old car.
I love it.
I love my big old car.
So anyway, Woodland Cemetery was founded in 1841.
Dang. Wow.
It's one of the five oldest rural garden cemeteries in the U.S. And in case you didn't know, our friend Maya, and also a lot of other people in other countries, cannot say rural.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Yeah. It's so funny listening to her try to say rural. It's so funny.
Yeah, anytime we passed a rural king, she would just call it Tractor Supply.
We went to rural king.
Mm-hmm. Rural. So anyway, before these cemeteries were popular, urban cemeteries is what people were using. But these cemeteries were creating a health concern because of overcrowding. These were cemeteries that were in cities. You would find them next to churches. So they were church properties.
I've learned about ones in London about that.
Yeah. And so like even in the U.S., you'd find them in big cities. They would be next to the church. And so they would just be crowding people in on top of each other. And then when those would become full, they would just remove the bones and bury them in the river
sometimes.
Yeah. Or just bury the bones under the church, do whatever. However, at some point in time, it was just becoming a huge health hazard. I mean, to the point to where you could go to the church or go to the grounds next to the church, and you are even likely to pick up a disease just by visiting. Ugh. It smelt horrible. Just to go there.
I bet.
The rise in population of people just made these type of cemeteries unusable.
I want to know when they changed from using a pined box to, you know, something more that we have today.
Well, you know, if you stay off TikTok and you use Google, you can find that out. But also floods.
Oh, rude.
Floods was also a concern for these type of cemeteries because a simple flood that was happening or just a lot of water could flush those coffins and those bodies out of this type of cemetery and into the surrounding neighborhoods.
Gross.
Just imagine. And then, of course, like these people could have diseases that they were just buried and like just wipe that all into your area, completely destroying your water supply. Gross. So you're just drinking that water.
You know, people talk about going back in time. Like if they had a time machine, I'm like, I would just die from the smell as soon as I got there.
So the solution that they found or that they thought of for this was what they called the Rural Garden Cemetery. And they thought the best place to put these would be on the outskirts of town. So these rural garden cemeteries are called rural because they're in a rural area. Rural is just outside of town.
What are you talking about? You like saying that word.
Rural. I just wanna, anyone who can't say it, I just want to say the word.
I know
you're
just rubbing it in.
Rural.
Sorry, Maya.
So you'll find these on the outskirts of town, and they're designed in a way so that it would entice people to get out of town and to go for a pleasant walk, to see the beautiful trees, the stones. You know, you could observe the stones on your pleasant walk.
They're always so pretty.
Yeah, you go for a picnic. We've seen some of the coolest.
There were some of the coolest stones at that cemetery.
And what's also real interesting is they're not lined up. They're just haphazardly, you know, just out there. The streets aren't straight. It's all very hilly. It's windy.
And rural.
And rural. It's very rural out there. It's easy to get it's windy. It's easy to get lost and just enjoy.
I think that was probably one of my favorite cemeteries that we've been in.
Yeah.
I like that. And I love the one in Cleveland, too.
Yeah.
The one in Cleveland is awesome.
Yeah. The one that President Garfield was in.
Yeah.
Now, they wanted these type of garden cemeteries, these rural garden cemeteries, to have ponds. They're supposed to be in a forested area. They wanted them to have benches and trails. So just imagine, you know, the 1840s, you're out there going on walks. I'm just imagining these women, you know, just having their little umbrellas.
Oh, yeah, a parasol.
Just walking around and, you know, just enjoying the atmosphere. Now, the downfall that they learned of these rural cemeteries was it kind of costs a lot of money to maintain them. Just because of the size, you're always having to mow the grass. You have to take care of all the plants, the street, the trails. It's just a lot of maintenance work. And they're pretty large. So the more people that die and come into them, it's just expanding these. And what also became the downfall of these cemeteries, beyond just the cost to maintain them, was when public parks were developed. So it became a place where people could either go to public parks or they could go to the cemetery to go on their pleasant walk.
I go to the cemetery, less people.
You still see a lot of people walking through cemeteries.
Yeah, you do now, but it will matter if it's well-maintained or not. So if you imagine if you can go through a well-maintained park or a little slightly less maintained cemetery.
Depends on what I'm doing there.
You may decide to go to the public park. But as public parks became the new fad, I think that became, I need to go to the public park because that's what's in now.
Right.
The cemetery is out. That's where dead people go.
Old news.
You know, yeah. Now, Central Park in New York City borrowed the idea for it and how it's designed from rural cemeteries. So I thought that was really cool. Like the whole design of it is from rural cemeteries. When more and more public parks opened, fewer and fewer people went to these type of cemeteries for leisure and relaxing. Then, when the Civil War happened, 2% of the U.S. population died in that war. Those people then were buried in rural cemeteries. With that sudden increase of burials and less people going to them, what was previously kept as orderly and scenic, it then became cluttered and unkept. So that just drove the nail in the coffin. Then even more people didn't want to go because it was even less desirable. So rural cemeteries began to fade out of popularity and were then replaced by the lawn cemetery. The lawn cemetery, that was actually, I mean, Ohio is just crazy with history. The lawn cemetery was first created in 1855 in Cincinnati. Do you guys know what a lawn cemetery is?
No.
So
just grass.
So They have one in Marion. It's when, and Marion's just next door to us.
Oh, the no headstones?
Yeah. Well, they have headstones, but it's just flat on the ground.
Yeah.
So that you can just like mow over it.
Gardens of Memory in Muncie.
Yeah. So it's just on the lawn.
Those are so hard to find a body, like who you're looking for.
Yeah, I have my grandparents are buried at Gardens of Memory, and I have absolutely no idea where they're at.
Yeah. It's hard to find people. But so it was first created in 1855, and that became the new inn because of how easy it was to maintain it. It was very cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just very easy. Now, those stones, as I mentioned, they lay flat to the ground, so it was easy to maintain. The issue with it, though, is that as soon as you slightly let the grass grow a little longer, it can easily and quickly overtake the stones. Yeah. So at some point, it can actually just overtake the stone completely.
Mm-hmm.
So the stone can just disappear, into the ground.
Right.
So it means,
like like sidewalks do if you don't maintain them.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely an easier option if that's what people are into.
Are you guys going to be buried?
I would like to be, yeah.
Yes. Is that your...
Yeah.
See, I don't like that idea because eventually nobody's going to know. Like, you know, even if you have children and whatnot, they might go visit you, but after them, no one's going to come out. And then
you might
be moved for a highway in 100 years.
I always wanted to be cremated and my ashes spread over the Smoky Mountains, my favorite place on earth.
It's illegal.
And yeah, but people still do it. People still do it. And then my ex-brother-in-law passed away in Florida and they had a celebration of life, but he wasn't there because he was cremated. And it took me a long, long time to grasp that he was no longer with us. Because, I mean, still for a year or two afterwards, every once in a while, I'd think, you know, I'm going to call him, you know. And then I would remember, well, I didn't have that closure because we didn't see him.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he passed away in his home, and they didn't find him until the next day. So, and when they cremate you, they cannot embalm you because that's explosive. You know, you just explode. And so they did have a family-only viewing for him. But it had been a week after he had passed away. My grandpa used to help my cousin that was a mortician. And I called my grandpa and I told him, I said, you know, they're still going to do this. I said, is it wise that we go? Because I was afraid of what he was going to look like after being in a house in Florida overnight, and not embalmed. And he said, don't go. So we never got that closure of seeing him like that. So after that happened, I didn't want to do it that way anymore because your funeral and stuff are not for you. They're for the living. They're for them to get their closure. And I did not want my kids to not have that closure. So I don't want that anymore. I want a traditional funeral and burial.
Well, not me.
Because I want Emily to be able to have a place to go. Because I know I still go see Amber. It's been 11 years.
I mean, you could be on her mantle. 12. She wouldn't have to leave. You'd be right there by the TV.
Yeah.
Watching Grey's Anatomy.
She's with all my other family members right in that little corner. There's a lot of family members there.
And oh, yeah.
It's...
Well, I've heard of, like, the parent getting cremated and then the child having in their will, when I get buried, put mom in with me. That sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, I've already gave Emily instructions that my dogs, because I had two dogs that had passed, all of my dogs will be with me when I go.
I want my babies.
I want my dogs with me.
Yeah, that's funny.
I really like the idea of the tree pods where they put your body in a pod and then they plant a tree over it and your decaying corpse nourishes a tree that'll be around forever.
Yeah, hopefully. I know I was familiar with one of those places in England that you could be buried in a pod like that, in a forest that they've created in England.
Interesting. Yeah, I just couldn't do that to Emily to know that there was no place that she could actually go and be able to sit and visit with me if she wanted to,
Right.
You know, so I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. All right. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is while Kim and I were at that cemetery, we did a lot of exploring to look at all of the people who were, you know, listed on the stones. And because it's such a massive cemetery, we did find some of the people on the stones and were able to look up some of the history behind who was buried at Woodlawn Cemetery. So I'm going to talk about some of those people.
Did you guys find any recipes?
No, we didn't. I didn't see any of the stones either. That had recipes on them. So the first person I wanted to mention, his name was Paul Lawrence Dunbar. And I kind of thought this was funny because this quote comes from what the cemetery refers to him as. And I think it's what his family like wanted people to know about him. So I'm just going to read it as a quote. Paul Lawrence Dunbar, born poor and black in 1872, he was a man who turned his imagination into prose and poetry. So his father died when he was 10, but had escaped to freedom in Canada. His mom was also a slave, and she lived in Kentucky before the Civil War. He developed a love for literature when he spent his evenings reading out loud to his mom, which evidently she liked hearing him read that out loud. I found this, and this is pretty interesting. Paul was also a classmate of Orville Wright.
Small world.
Yeah, and he was the only black person in the high school for that graduating class in Dayton.
Interesting.
He was one of the first black writers of his time to get national attention. In poems, he was able to tell what daily black life was like using what they called Southern Negro dialect. He published his first book, Oak and Ivy, in 1883. And as his fame grew, he gave readings before audiences all over the U.S. and England. In all, he wrote 25 books, 15 essays, and over 100 poems.
Heavens.
Yeah. He wrote 35 song lyrics, 24 short stories, 9 musicals, and 4 plays.
Wow.
He died of tuberculosis in 1906. And today, if you go to see his tombstone, it's overshadowed by a willow tree that's planted next to it.
Aww.
And that tree refers to a poem that Paul made called A Death Song, and it refers to that willow. Hmm. Another person that we visited at the gravesite was Irma Bombeck.
Love that name.
Yeah, Irma, which I didn't know who she was, I think because of my age. But Irma was born Irma Feist on February 21st in Dayton, Ohio. She found the humor in everyday experiences of being a wife and mother and shared it with her readers. But her early days were no laughing matter. Bombeck lost her father at the age of 9 and her mother went to work to support them. In junior high, Irma Bombeck showed early signs of her future work, writing a humor column for her school's newspaper. She worked for the Dayton Herald, which later became the Journal Herald, as a copy girl as a teenager, and got her first article published when she was still in high school. After graduating in 1944, she joined the publication's writing staff and saved money for college. Bombeck graduated from the University of Dayton in 1949 and returned to the Journal Herald. That same year, she married Bill Bombeck, and around this time, she started writing for the paper's women's section. In addition to her column, Bombeck wrote for magazines such as Good Housekeeping, Reader's Digest, Red Book, and McGowell's. She also authored several popular books, including bestsellers such as The Grass is Always Greener Over the Septic Tank and If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Doing in the Pits? That's all one word.
I like her.
Yeah. The Grass is Always Greener Over the Septic Tank was later turned into a movie starring Carol Burnett. Beginning in the mid-1970s, Bombeck also became a television personality, appearing on Good Morning America for more than a decade. She also tried her hand at creating a television series. She lived in Los Angeles for a time while working on the sitcom Maggie. The show's family was based on her own, and she wrote several of the episodes herself. Bombeck was also an executive producer on the series. Despite Bombeck's popularity, the show failed to catch on with television audience and was canceled after 8 weeks on the air. Bombeck also had a serious side, too. She was a vocal advocate for the Equal Rights Amendment for women and served on the President's National Advisory Committee for Women in the late 1970s.
Oh, wow.
In the 1980s, Bombeck tackled a difficult subject, childhood cancer, with her book, I Want to Grow Hair, I Want to Grow Up, I Want to Go to Boise. She visited a camp for children with cancer and spent a lot of time with families and children fighting cancer as a part of writing that book. Like her other work, it found the humor in a challenging situation while making some poignant observations. In the 1990s, she faced her own battle with cancer. In 1992, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and had a mastectomy. Unfortunately, this was only the beginning of her health problems. After her cancer treatment, her kidneys began to shut down because of a disorder related to a kidney disease.
Bless her heart.
I know.
Yeah, I remember her really well.
In 1996, she received a kidney transplant at the San Francisco Medical Center. Irma Bombeck died from medical complications related to that transplant on April 22nd, 1996 in San Francisco. And when we visited where she's buried, there's this huge rock. It's hard to pass. Like, as soon as you enter the graveyard, mm-hmm. you'll see the huge rock on your left. And then you'll see her gravesite just past that rock with her and her husband. And the huge rock her husband had placed there for her, because that spot was where she used to come in when she lived in Dayton to write a lot. Aww. In the cemetery. So it was a very important spot for her. So he wanted to make sure that that's where, you know, she was going to be buried. And that that's rock was sweet. Significant. Yeah. It's a massive boulder.
Yeah, it's very,
I mean, it's not a rock, it's a boulder.
If he ain't getting a boulder for your headstone, does he really love you?
Exactly.
Yeah. And on Unmasked, I have stories of another person that I think you guys will find really interesting. That is a really, really cool story. And I found a letter that person wrote.
They're also buried in the rural cemetery.
In the rural cemetery, yeah. Not the urban cemetery, but the rural one.
So I don't think it must be the one that, it's not the little boy, is it?
No.
So that's the one stone that really stood out to me. And it was really cool. And I really wish that they had more of them. But in some of the more famous, you know, stones, they would have a little brochure that would tell you who the person was. Hmm. And the only one that we've seen that still had brochures left was this one stone of a little boy and a dog. So I grabbed it, and I didn't read it until after we had gotten home, you know. And I can't remember if he was in an accident or something, but he died, the little boy.
And oh, my God, Kim, he died?
And the
is that why he's in the cemetery?
He's dead.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler alert, everyone.
Oh, say it ain't so.
And the dog would come and sit with him every day. So they ended up having a stone put with him and his dog.
Jeez.
I can't have any fun on this show. God.
And then he died.
And then he died.
Oh. Is the dog buried there too? Like, did they shoot the dog when he died?
Well,
he said he wanted to be buried with them.
No, I can't remember what the story. I meant to send it to you so you could add it to your story, and yeah. I forgot.
One thing I will say about the cemetery is it was really cool. We spent a lot of time there, but it was really lacking a good audio tour, I thought. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no signage, first of all. Like, we right. knew some people that we wanted to find there, but there was no signage of where we were.
Yeah, which
like,
way to no go.
There's no markers. We didn't know. Like, there's no sections.
Yeah, no it's section numbers or
Ellen
letters.
Or, I feel like cemeteries don't want people to visit. Remember when right. Pokemon Go first came out? Mm-hmm. They were getting their, you know, throwing their arms up. Like, well, quit coming and playing. We don't want visitors.
In fact, when I was trying to find, this is a little secret I use. If I'm trying to find someone in a cemetery that's famous or something, like especially a president or something.
A Pokestop.
Yeah, I'll turn on Pokemon Go because normally they're a Pokestop. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm like, okay, Kim, turn left here, turn right. And that's how we find them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I mean, if they don't have a map,
The one in Indy, the big one, Crown Hill in Indy, they're very good about having marked, you know, this person go this way and this person go that way or whatever. Oh, good. But boy, that one in Ohio, they had nothing.
No, in Indianapolis, though, they don't have what's-his-face marked, the robber.
Dillinger. Yeah, they didn't. Well,
they don't have him marked.
Who would want to mark him? Who would want to?
I call him Daddy Dillinger.
But who doesn't want to go there to see him?
I mean,
he's still a famous person.
It took us a while to find him, but yeah, they don't have him marked.
I use Pokemon Go to find him.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
They don't have him marked at all, and he doesn't have a big stone or anything.
I covered him on Rotten. He could have got it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it all day long.
Well, and so they have a theory, you know, that they have like a big cemetery, I mean, a big, what was it? Like they poured a bunch of cement or something over his grave after they, like, underneath the ground to make sure that no one will dig him up or something.
Yeah. They've had to replace his stone because people would find it and ship it.
Yeah. So they think
they have, which they've done the same thing with James Dean.
What's wrong with people?
Yeah.
People have stolen his stone.
Dear God.
But you had to use Pokemon Go to find Dillinger. Yeah. Crazy.
Have you guys seen the QR codes on headstones now that you can scan and it'll show like a video.
I don't like it.
You know, it's a married couple. It'll show like a video of them dancing or a video message.
It's cute now, but I mean, it just won't age very well. So, I mean, as long as you're okay with people.
It'll eventually go away.
I just really think that in a lot of cemeteries, they need a good tour.
Mm-hmm. Especially the big ones, you know, that have numerous people. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you're more likely to have people come out. And then if more people come out, more people will want, I mean, you're going to be able to get a better upkeep.
Yeah, that, because people might give a donation because they usually have donations.
Or charge for the tour.
That too.
Charge a little bit of money for the tour, you know.
Go into the office and get
something to do.
With how much they charge for a damn grave site, they should have plenty of money.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, but eventually that money goes out, you know. You only have so much land.
To sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to ask you something. Oh, you have been to the big one out in California, the Hollywood one.
Yeah.
Did they have a tour there?
I don't know. I just pulled in real quick just to see
Estelle Getty.
Estelle. Yeah. I didn't look to see if they had a tour. I was in a hurry.
I would love.
There's so much stuff to look and see to do, but I don't know.
I would absolutely love to go to that big Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they've got, there are so many people in that cemetery.
But if you go see Estelle Getty, do not leave flowers. I keep seeing pictures of people leave flowers. She was Jewish. They do not believe in that. She
really
very specific about not wanting flowers and stuff left on her headstone, and people still do it. I'm like, you're disrespecting her death wish.
I have
some respect.
I usually try to leave a coin anytime we visit someplace, you know, that's...
Keep your coins.
I do when I go to see grandma. I mean, I did once. I found a quarter with her birth year on it, which is hard to do. 45.
Well, I never knew that really signified anything until after Amber had passed away. And a lot of her friends would leave coins when they would come and visit her. And I had no idea that it meant something. I looked it up one day. And I always thought it was just really cool. So
a coin or a rock or just something to signify like
the coins, they signify that you're paying the ferryman to take their
Greek mythology.
Yeah, to take their spirit to a different world.
It only counts if it's on the body over the eyes.
Really? That I didn't know. But you still see people. And it's also military. It's something to do with military too. Hmm. Amount the coin is for is how higher they are in the military.
Okay.
So, you know, if somebody's, you know, just real low military, they'd leave, you know, a quarter.
Y'all better be leaving Sacagawea golden dollars on mine. No pennies.
Leaving pennies skates. Or nickels.
Sorry, and then, Josh, you're getting cremated.
I'm not getting anything.
The higher
you're not
you
getting
are,
anything.
It'll be after you. You won't have to worry about that, honey. I'll be the last of the three of us to go unless it's a freak accident.
We're going to leave you with Emily. We're going to specifically say, mix his ashes in with our mother.
You guys are going to be long gone when I go.
I bet Emily will still be alive. Then flush him down the toilet.
We'll see.
In Kim's septic tank.
I don't.
You're ridiculous.
Leech her out into her property.
You're ridiculous.
God, just put me on a mountain and let the birds pick at me. God.
That's illegal. Remember, we just...
No,
we
you
just
can do that in other countries. That's... the general way that some people go. They just put them out on a mountain and let the buzzards pick them clean, and they do a good job.
That's another thing that I really wish we got to do when we were in New Orleans, was one of them down there, one of the cemeteries.
Yes, the cities, cities of the dead.
We should try to find a good cemetery when we're in Colorado.
We could look for one in Nashville, too.
True.
I'm surprised you guys haven't already. I was going to, but I'm like, well, no, we've seen sure both Shane of the, and Kim.
There's two presidents in Nashville. Yeah, and we've seen both of those. History,
but yeah. That one, the racist one.
The one that
Can you be more specific?
Right. The one who had enslaved people.
Can you be more specific?
Right. All right, are you guys ready for my shit fire?
Please.
Yeah. Shit fire. Okay, if you're new to the show, shit fire was a saying our grandma used to say. So in Michigan last month, some construction workers were doing some work on the Family Fair supermarket, a really big supermarket. They're working on the roof of the supermarket, and that's when they noticed it. An extension cord. Well, what could this extension cord be going to? So they start following it. It's a really long extension cord. And it ran all the way to the back of the Family Fair sign. How odd. Well, they look into the sign and they realize that there's a little room back there. Now, between the sign and the back of the room, it was 5 feet wide and about 5 feet long and 8 feet high. And shit far, there's a woman living inside.
Oh my God.
She was wearing all black. She steps out of the shadows. And she has ski goggles up on the top of her head. And she's like, hi.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, this woman laid flooring up there. I mean, we're talking about up on top of the supermarket. She had a mini desk. She had clothing stored up there for herself. She had a Keurig coffee maker. A printer and a computer, all of this stuff running off of this extension cord.
How did she get up there?
They think that she somehow was able to like hop up there from different buildings to eventually make it onto that roof. Now, as I mentioned, that power cord eventually provide power.
How did she go to the bathroom?
I don't know, Kim. You have to ask her. Now, the woman was very cooperative. And she apologized, guys, I'm sorry, and I will leave.
That's the ultimate ask for forgiveness, not permission.
I know. So apparently, the woman had a job. She wasn't, you know, without money. She had money. And she told the police that this was a secret place that her family knew about for a really long time. And she admitted to living there for about a year. That's the amount of time that she admits to being there. They didn't press charges and they let her go, and the store returned all of her belongings to her.
It's obviously that she needed some mental.
Her cornbread wasn't done in the
night. Yeah. She needed some. She didn't need to be arrested. She needed help. She didn't need to be arrested.
I mean, can you imagine though? Like,
well, it is theft.
The world is trespassing.
Theft of electricity. I'd put someone in jail if I had to pay their electric bill for over a year. get your.
I just can't imagine. Like, it just seems like it'd be uncomfortable, first of all. Like, why would you even want to live there? And, like, how would her job not notice that she's not, like...
Like, she's not showering. She showering? Maybe she had a gym membership.
Maybe.
But that means she'd had to gotten up and down a lot.
Yeah, unnoticed. A woman in all black with goggles jumping from building to building unnoticed for over a year.
Right.
People ain't paying attention.
That's weird is what that is.
Look
that's
up
weird.
From your phones, people. The world's going on around right. you.
I just want to remind all of our friends listening, we have mugs, we have t-shirts, and all of this stuff you're going to find. And little dicks and not rocks.
But Amazonite necklaces.
You know, those things.
And my big old BVDs.
True. You'll find all that stuff on our website. It's mysteryinc.com. And I thought it would be fun. At some point, we should ask our Patreons to vote or give us ideas on what our next merchandise should be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun
because, you know, I created a sticker for them that we'll give out soon.
Mm-hmm.
But we should ask them sometime what our next merchandise should be.
Make a poll.
Yeah. So we'll get some ideas soon.
I made us a lovely Mystery Ink bracelets in our colors.
Oh, that's pretty.
I thought about making some to put on there, but I don't know if my tying skills are good enough. I don't want someone to order one and get it. And
right.
I don't want to waste the 5 seconds to look up how to tie the knot correctly.
Right.
Well, we did.
That's tiny print.
Yes, I know. And I really don't think I'm going to be able to read it. Josh, do you want to try?
Sure.
I'm like.
You blind people.
Now the
these
two,
are the reviews?
Yeah, these are the reviews. I screenshotted them and then we printed them from there. That's why they're so small.
Okay.
It's only two reviews. And the second one I've marked out where the screenshot, because I had to do two screenshots, it wouldn't fit all in one. So I marked out the duplicate part of it.
Okay. Well, this one says, hanging out and chatting from MT Logic, I believe. The Waters brothers and producer Kim have become some of my best true crime and mystery friends. Sitting down and listening to them is like chatting with friends. A lighthearted discussion of some of life's mysteries combined with some true crime is so fun. When I need a friendly chat, I always want to sit down with Mystery Inc. While there is a lot of friendly banter, when it is time to discuss victims of true crimes, things get serious and respectful. Great balance to some difficult topics. Hoping Mystery Inc. keeps going for a long time.
She's a Patreon.
Our next one. The name is too.
I think it was.
Fine, I can't read it.
If I remember right, it was in need of a good name or something like that. It was funny. Oh, it was real funny.
Good nickname needed.
There we go.
That's funny.
Love this podcast. Hoping to become a patron soon. Just had to give Kim some love. I've tried to encourage others to listen, but they say they can't get past the banter. Here's the thing. Actually listen to 3 episodes and then tell me if it feels like banter or like getting in some quality time with friends. Josh has the purest soul. Oh, well, thank you. That's so nice. And he makes me laugh so hard. The way Shane shows he cares through relentless teasing reminds me so much of my best friend and I. And Kim is so relatable. The way she speaks reminds me so much of where I grew up in small town Kansas and how open she is about the loss of Amber and her journey with grief. Both good feelings that hit like when she can acknowledge Amber is trying to tell her something and sad like life events with Emily, she wishes Amber were able to be there for physically. I really do not understand how anyone can't love all the honest emotion and conversation. It's okay to laugh, grieve, and tease to the point strangers question your friendship. Give it 3 episodes and you'll find some gems of good life philosophy and what you may have once felt was banter.
Oh,
yeah, that's the one that I had texted you guys and said, I just read a review and I'm in tears. It was that one.
Aww.
That was nice.
I don't get why people don't like banter. Mm. I love it. Almost the majority of the podcast I listen to are just people talking to one another. Like, that's, I love it.
Maybe we'll have to do a merch sometime that has something to do with banter.
That would be funny.
If you do not like our banter, though, you may get tested for ADHD or something because you have a problem concentrating.
If they don't like our banter, they're not at this point in our show.
Exactly. Right.
Or they're just miserable and they're like, no, I don't want to hear people laughing and having a good time.
Right.
You know, I look at the charts every week to see if we're on the top 200 and we've not made it there yet.
Not yet. Someday we're going to be number one.
Someday.
I can feel it. Someday people are going to fall in love with our banter. And they're just going to be like, we need you every day.
Yep.
Can't get enough. I'll have to show a titty to get us to number one, ain't I?
Oh, God.
One of these days.
Why don't you just go ahead and do it now and get it over with?
I did shave last night.
All right, guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, should we do Unmasked?
Yeah.
All right.
Or My Mystery.
Maybe.
Well, I guess we'll let you know.
Yeah, maybe.
We better, because I finished it. Mine's actually interesting.
Oh, good.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I almost said love you. Love you, bye.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.